Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, today we're going to talk about one of your favorite things, because this was your first major. This was your first degree. Your first line of study was reading.
Oh, okay. Now I'm with you.
Why did you act like that?
I thought you were doing history, and I said,
oh, no.
We're not doing a history podcast.
No. Reading.
Oh, yes.
But history involves a lot of reading.
Well.
You know. But your first degree was in reading, right? It related to reading.
Was reading disabilities, right?
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Reading and learning disabilities.
Yeah. So we're going to talk
nobody
about...
Nobody knows that.
Huh?
Nobody knows that.
I know that.
Anything about learning disabilities. Remember that day?
Oh.
Do you know anything about learning
I disabilities? Do remember that day.
That was... And we still laugh about that.
Oh, man. See, that? Here we get to share an inside joke on the podcast for...
We can share it.
You know, tens of people to hear.
Right. Oh. Wow. I heard that.
I have no idea how many
people... I'm going to have to... I know. You know, one of the things... We can't... find out. It's hard to calculate. It's
right.
Hard to decipher how many people actually listen.
Right, right. We've received a few new ratings on mm-hmm. iTunes, which has been fantastic.
Yeah.
But, you know, so we would definitely love it if more right. people would go on and just
yeah,
hit
ratings.
The ratings or, right. or even write a review. That would even be better.
It's an odd awesome. Algorithm that they use to decide where to put your... podcast and the array of podcasts that are being done today.
It is a very odd mm-hmm. Algorithm. But today we're going to talk about reading because there was this great article that we've mm-hmm. we've read before.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. this is an article from 2016 mm-hmm. From PsychReg.
Right.
We've seen it before and we've sort of kind of danced around using it as a podcast and we haven't done it mm-hmm. yet. But today... Today's
well,
the day.
And it fits in with the two or three others that we're going to be doing this week, because of the benefits of fiction,
right?
And this will relate to other topics that we're going to be covering during the week.
Yeah,
and I'm going to have to use my glasses more today than I usually do because I have so many more notes than usual.
But all okay. right,
that, you don't mind.
I'm okay with
okay,
that.
So I apologize to readers for taking them on and off, but you know, I'm at that point. I'm over 40.
Just a smidge. So the title of the article is "The Benefits of mm-hmm. Reading Fiction," and it's by Rona De La Rosa.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think Rona De La Rosa. Right.
Got it.
That's how I would say it.
And she is a lecturer in England right. or in English, mm-hmm. Over in England.
Indeed,
and
yeah.
It's a great piece that talks about the importance of reading fiction. And one of the reasons why I really wanted us to talk about this article and just to talk about this mm-hmm. topic is because we do get questions sometimes from parents, you know, what kind of books should my kids be reading? Mm-hmm. You know, they get distressed or upset or, you know, frustrated when their kids primarily want to read. I guess what they refer to more or less as nonsense books, but books that just are fun books or silly mm-hmm. books or, you know, manga or comic books
right.
or, you know, all these different things that are sort of sometimes unfortunately seen as junk books.
Right.
But really, you know, there are a lot of benefits to reading fiction.
There's nothing that it isn't worth reading.
Right.
The act of reading is the act of reading.
Right.
It doesn't matter. The only difference is sentence structure, sentence length. Mm-hmm. And complexity and vocabulary.
Right.
But the act of reading, and I tell parents that all the time, I don't care what he reads. He can read the back of a cereal box. When you're on a computer, you're reading almost
yeah.
constantly, unless you're watching videos.
Right.
That may be why kids like YouTube, but it doesn't matter what you read.
Right.
Just during those summer months, we'd say to parents, just let them read.
Right.
It doesn't matter whether they're reading Lemony Snicket or Captain Underpants, or it doesn't matter.
Right.
The important thing is that they just do this act of reading.
Right. Okay. It always reminds me of this scene in 3 Men and a Baby.
Right.
Remember that? Tom mm-hmm. Selleck's character.
Right.
So it, just as a reminder, the three men that live together and they gain custody. I
of somehow one of them had a child, yeah. And so they have this baby, and he's reading the sports section of a magazine to the baby one morning, and one of the other guys walks in and says, "What are you doing?" Mm-hmm. And he goes, "I'm just reading to her, and it doesn't matter as long as you use inflection when you're reading." And so he's reading this sports column, and it's very true.
Doesn't matter. You're hearing words. You're learning vocabulary. The act of reading is not just a cognitive or linguistic act. It's also an emotional act. And if you study the brain, you realize that information is moving in multiple directions. Mm-hmm. And it's from the emotional parts of the brain to the cognitive parts of the brain. So it doesn't matter. You're activating all those structures.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you're reading, as long as you're activating those structures. There's no benefit to reading. There's no more of a benefit to reading nonfiction than there is to reading fiction.
Right.
Reading is reading.
Right. Yeah, I think when you think about reading nonfiction, you know, we think about fact gathering, we think about, you know, gaining information and learning, and all of those things are really great benefits to reading nonfiction. Right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she points out some really important things here that are benefits of reading nonfiction. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I thought was really interesting that she pointed out was that it helps increase empathy.
Right.
And I think, or as I thought about that more, you know, it really makes sense, because when you're reading nonfiction, oftentimes you already sort of know the outcome. You already know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're reading somebody's biography, if you're reading, you know, yes, you may learn about struggles they had. Yes, you may learn some different facts that you didn't know about them, but you know the ultimate outcome. Mm-hmm. If you're reading nonfiction, or I'm sorry, if you're reading fiction. Then the characters, you may not be able to predict the end. And so you start feeling for the characters in ways that you wouldn't necessarily care for them if they were real, you know, people. And I think that was some of the real attraction that people have had to, like, things like Harry Potter and some of those kinds of books, because you begin to have an empathy for these characters. Mm-hmm. Because they're fictional characters, so they can the depth, you know, that the authors can can go to are is much, much, much broader.
Right, and when you're reading fiction, you're thinking about the characters, and you start to empathize with certain characters.
Right,
and it's that increased empathy that you get, and certainly Harry Potter. He's an orphan, so immediately, you start thinking, ah, poor kid, you know. Mm-hmm. Then he's living with these horrible relatives in a closet under the stairs. Oh, this poor kid. So you start to develop empathy for this person. And when you develop empathy, what she says, and I hadn't made this connection before, but if you improve your empathy, you're less likely to be judgmental. You know, you're not going to start judging, and I hadn't made the connection between empathy and becoming less judgmental.
Right.
Because you begin to see things from Harry's point, and I think he's a wonderful example.
Yeah.
You begin to see things from his point of view.
Yeah, because, again, because you don't know the outcome, you can have, you know, the example from Harry Potter that I think is an ideal example of that part is Professor Snape.
Yes.
You know, he is hated, despised through, you know, 6.5 volumes, 6.5 books.
Almost the entire series, essentially the entire series.
And then you learn the truth. Right. And so, you know, when we take that and we extrapolate that out to life, then you start thinking, you know, this person could be like Snape. This person could be, he could come across as having these devious schemes and all this. But in the end, there's a method to it. There's a purpose behind it. There's a reason for some of that. And it creates that opportunity to be a little bit less judgmental, because you can see so much more depth in the people.
Was it the first or second book where they had the first Quidditch match where they set fire to, somebody set fire to
the first book? One. Okay. It was the first book.
And that's the first time when you realize this is Snape might not be the person you think he is.
Yeah.
Because you thought he was controlling the Quidditch match, only to learn later that it wasn't Snape at all. And
right.
You say, "Ooh, there's something about this guy." Mm-hmm. And then, but throughout the series, is he a good guy or a bad guy?
Yeah.
You know,
and
you're left with that ambivalence until you get to the very end.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right.
And so, yes, I love the idea of building more empathy through reading the fiction.
That's right. And it's also, another thing she points out, it's one of the ways we learn right from wrong.
Right.
To make moral judgments. If you're reading nonfiction, mm-hmm. there's no moral judgment that you're making. Right. It's this is the information.
Right.
And she mentions fairy tales.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you learn about the wicked queen and the yeah. and the nice and you the wicked stepmother. You mm-hmm. know, I remember when I was little, I first discovered that somebody in our family had a stepmother, and I thought, oh, that would be this wicked stepmother.
Right.
I thought all stepmothers were evil and wicked, but they're not, of course. But that's where we learn right or wrong. It's another advantage of reading fiction,
yeah.
especially the young children.
And the third one that she mentions is. Again, a fantastic one, and that is creativity and imagination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we use the words create, be creative, far too liberally, mm-hmm. and in ways that we don't really mean. Right. You know, we say be creative. What we tend to mean when we say that is be creative, but within these boundaries. You know, mm-hmm. within these limitations.
Right.
When you're reading fiction, those boundaries can disappear,
right.
and you can start to think much, much broadly, mm-hmm. and much more
creatively,
but much more with your imagination, and just right. you can create worlds that you know don't exist. But
this always happens when you read a book before you see the movie,
mm-hmm.
and you imagine the scene
right
as you're reading it. You go to the theater and you say, it's not quite how I would have done right. it, but I understand why. Or you say, wow, that was really a good way to mm-hmm. visualize that whole thing. Because
right.
when you talk about Harry Potter being under the stairs, all of us had this different image of that. Mm-hmm. Then you see it on film and you
right.
say, wow, what a great depiction
mm-hmm.
of that. Not quite what I had in mind.
Yeah.
But when you read, you create.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So. Absolutely. So yeah, that imagination and creativity
mm-hmm.
is wonderful.
Right. Yep.
So some other things that it points out
mm-hmm.
Is that it helps with your reactions to things, to way in which you interact with other people.
Right.
Because again, in much the same way as the empathy, you mm-hmm. know, one of the things that it really brought to my mind was when you look at, we're just going to stick with Harry Potter, I suppose,
right.
is when you look at the way in which Harry Potter interacted with his friends and some of the, you know, challenges that they went through and some of the issues that they had, but also the interactions that they had with enemies, with
adversaries,
the villains,
yeah.
with the, yeah, mm-hmm. you know, then you can see the way in which people problem solve and
right.
the way in which people deal with issues and deal with interpersonal conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can learn from that. You know, even though our kids aren't going to be, you know, casting spells at each other and those
right.
kinds of things, again, you can see that, you know, sometimes problems appear much more significant than mm-hmm. than they really are, and you
right.
know, it just gives you better insight into the motivations and purposes of other people.
Right. And also, as you're reading, you discover your true emotions.
Right.
And this happens to me all the time. And you know, you're reading these fictional characters, and you get to somebody like Malfoy. You
mm-hmm.
know, this little blonde-haired kid who was sort of always antagonizing,
right.
and he was kind of a bully. You know,
yeah.
he and his buddies
mm-hmm.
were bullies. And as you're reading about him, you clarify your own thinking about people like
right.
that, because we all have people like that in our lives. And you say, you know, the more I think about this, the more it bothers me
mm-hmm.
That it really bothers me when people bully others,
right.
you know, that they pick on others and bully them and ridicule them, or when adults pick on children.
Yes.
You know, Malfoy's father
yeah.
Would pick on Harry Potter and,
mm-hmm.
and be an antagonist toward him. And, you say,
and against Snape. When
and,
Snape would do some of those things, it's like,
right.
wow, that's brutal.
Why do adults do that to children?
Mm-hmm.
And so you clarify your own values and your own emotional opinions, but also your values.
Right.
And you clarify them through fiction. It gives you the opportunity to clarify your own thinking.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. The next thing that she mentions, which again I think is really beneficial in reading fiction, is that it can provide a sense of calm. It can help you relax, and you can sort of pull some of that stress and frustration and feelings of being overwhelmed
right.
from the day, and you can just, you know, sit on the couch or sit in your chair and pull out the book and get yourself put yourself into a different world so that it creates calm.
And how many times have we talked about mindfulness and cognitive behavioral therapy and relaxation and yoga and all these things that bring you to calm?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
Nothing will do it faster than fiction. If you right. get into a good book, you're immediately immersed mm-hmm. into another world,
yeah.
and you're taking your mind off your problems.
Right.
It gives your brain a chance to go other places and to stop thinking about the troubles and travails of your own life, and just for a moment give yeah. it a rest.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah.
And fiction does that.
Yeah, absolutely. She cites a study from University of Sussex from
right.
2009, where they found that reading fiction for 6 minutes
right.
decreases stress by 68%.
Right. Right.
That's incredible.
What can you do for 6 minutes that'll get you that kind of relief?
Right.
You know? And no, I'm a firm believer.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the last one.
Go ahead.
We who are workaholics.
Oh, that was, all right, go ahead.
Right?
Yeah.
You're not going to deny that.
Not during this podcast.
Not publicly. Not right now.
But not
like,
right now.
No. We tend to work a lot,
mm-hmm.
and many people believe that, well, I don't have time to read fiction because there's too much
right.
other technical stuff, job-related. I have to read about children. I have to read about raising kids. I have to read about tech, you know. It's practical, practical, practical,
mm-hmm.
practical. I don't have time for fiction. Just the opposite is the case. Because it's fiction, sometimes you have to unplug
right.
from all the practical and all the, I got to get smarter and faster and better and
mm-hmm.
and just become more human.
Right.
And fiction makes us more human.
Right.
If you can spend 6 minutes
mm-hmm.
out of an entire day
yeah.
to get to calm, it's well worth it.
Yeah.
You know, you're spending enough time reading the other things.
Yeah.
Take 10 minutes. Take some time for fiction because
Absolutely.
That's what's going to make you human. It's going to reconnect you. It's going to relax you, number one. It's going to put you in touch with your own feelings.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. So get out and read.
Yeah, there's one thing I want to... We talked about this, the woman who wrote this, and we said she's a lecturer in...
English. Mm-hmm.
But she works in the Philippines.
Yeah.
Okay. And so maybe...
Mm-hmm.
When we're there.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be there in August.
Yeah.
Right?
We are going to be in the Philippines in August.
And maybe she's a lecturer at the Polytechnic College in the Philippines. And maybe.
Yeah.
We could meet. Philippines is not that big.
No.
So, Dr. De La Rosa?
No, we've never been there before.
No. We don't. We know nothing about it except that we like the food.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's going to be... It's going to be exciting to be there.
Right. So, Dr. De La Rosa, we're giving you fair warning. We are going to invade the Philippines in August.
You better be careful how you say it.
That's right. They might think I'm literal. Right?
That's right.
No, this is fictional. This is fiction. No, we're going to be visiting your country in early August.
Yes.
End of July, early August. Looking forward to it. If you're there, we'd love to meet you. We'd love to meet you.
So. Yeah. So, and we would love for anyone else to come out.
Anyone else who's near the Philippines?
Yeah, go to the conference. It'll be great.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm.
All right. That is it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We'd be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening, have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.